Hello and welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses that are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they embark on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who can consistently push the boundaries. They allow principles to take precedence over ad hocism. For them, profitability is as important as scale, creating and leading new categories and innovations. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, or leaders, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, agonies and ecstasies, and of course, frustrations and little joys. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. For this episode, I'm delighted to have Dr. Anirvan Chatterjee, founder and CEO at Haystack Analytics, and Gaurav Srivastava, co-founder at Haystack Analytics. Haystack Analytics is a Mumbai-based health tech company incubated at IIT Bombay and initially funded by the Department of Science and Technology and BIRAC, Government of India, and supported with technology by GE Healthcare and Intel. They are a technology platform for hospitals and diagnostic labs to provide genomic diagnostics. They build, validate, and offer tests that accurately identify the patient's condition. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Gaurav and Anirvan.
Thank you, Gaurav.
Thank you, Gaurav.
Gaurav, first to you. You know, you say that Haystack Analytics is, and quoting, building state-of-the-art genomic solutions for accurate, personalized clinical decisions, unquote. Explain this to me. If I am uninitiated in the world of genomics, how would you explain your work to me? Why is it relevant for me?
Thank you for the question, Gaurav. The way I look at genomics, and I have a very ingenious view on this technology. Genomics basically gives us an opportunity to understand the entire biology of the subject that we are trying to analyze. What does it do? It is described as a two-step process where first step, we take the DNA from the host. We put it into a sequencer. We digitize the entire DNA. And then we go into the process where we analyze the entire digital DNA that has been presented post-sequencing. And once we have access to this, we practically have access to the entire blueprint of life for that being. Now, how is this information useful or viable? I think the example that I would like to take is of a patient who has, let's say, a fever today, who's walking into a doctor's clinic with a fever. Now, if the patient is going to the doctor, the first problem the doctor is trying to solve is to identify what infection that the patient has, which is causing the fever. The journey that he takes, though, in the practice is on day zero, he's going to get me started on possibly a sequence of tests, and these are going to be PCR-based testing, where while the analyte is the DNA still through PCR, but they're looking at a very small fragment of the DNA and calling out what whether it's a dengue or malaria or chikungunya or any of the other tests that doctor might have asked for. On day three, if the patient still has got fever and the first set of tests that were called on, if they continue to be negative, the doctor is going to change the analyte. He will basically ask for a culture and possibly get me started on antibiotics. The way genomics would have changed this entire mechanism would have been, the entire treatment mechanism would have been, on day zero, instead of looking at individual pathogen searches that would have been done through a PCR, the doctor could have asked for a screening, genomic screening, where through a genomic screening, we would have looked at all of the of DNA that was presented to the sequencer, digitized all of the DNA that was presented out of the sequencer, analyze this data in silico and call out exactly which spectrum of pathogens that we have found and what is the antimicrobial resistance if there are bacterial infection, what is the antimicrobial resistance that has been found in that, those pathogens, so that the doctor on day zero itself would have chosen exactly what therapy need to initiate. So basically allows us to have access to the most comprehensive information when initiating the therapy for any clinical conditions, and ensuring that the personalized therapy in the right spectrum is initiated for the condition by knowing everything about it. That's the capability of genomics, and that's the technology behind genomics.
Thanks, Gaurav. Anirvan, one of your recent reports has indicated that India continues to bear the largest share of TB cases in the world. The data also shows that 65%, and that's a very high incidence, 65% of the cases are reported in patients between 15 to 45, who make up the most economically productive segment of the population. How can genome sequencing and the kind of work that we're doing at Haystack Analytics help in dealing with this challenge? Anirvan?
Thanks for that question, Gaurav. I think before we get to that, we need to understand what happens in tuberculosis. And why is it, people do get sick with many different things. And what is this whole thing about the productive age and tuberculosis and why it is more concerning? Before the disease was called tuberculosis, historically, when people didn't know what causes that disease, it was called wasting or consumption. And it was called so because the way a human body reacted to the disease, it would really make the body waste away and would make the person significantly weak. The person loses appetite, person loses sleep. And in extreme places, you can actually see people going down to their bones. Even if people don't go down to their bones, the disease is so debilitating that the person remains sick for a very long time. Now, this impact, if you think in terms of people who are in their most productive age, that impact is significantly higher because it is in that age we are physically most active, we are physically most productive, and we tend to do a lot of productive work. And that is why the impact of TB in this disease impact of the disease for these patients is significantly more and can have a significant impact on the economy itself, and not to say the family of that person. But then it is not that we didn't know it. We had gotten over it as a society. When antibiotics were discovered and anti-TB treatment was created, it was very clear that with the right antibiotics, these effects were significantly reduced. So it is known that in the first few doses of a good antibiotic therapy, a person could actually go back to work. And that is still what happens in most of the cases, and cases where people are infected. And mark this word, people are infected with the drug-sensitive form of tuberculosis. That is where a person responds to normal therapy. The person actually gets better faster. But if the bacteria causing that infection is drug-resistant, then the medication is not going to work unless that medication is given with the cognizance, with the data of which antibiotics will work for that patient. So a patient might be at that point of time feeling a double whammy of things. One, the disease itself, which is consuming the person internally. Second, the tremendous amount of antibiotics that a person is taking, that is creating a lot of side effects for the person. And there is no impact on the remission of the disease. All of this can be taken care of if the right drug is given to the right patient. And for that, we need to understand in the laboratory, from the laboratory, as to which antibiotics will work. And that is where whole genome sequencing comes in. Whole genome sequencing, the test that we provide to our partners who take it to clinicians and their patients, it is to the best of the knowledge of the world of science that we are in. A whole genome sequencing is the best way to find the complete or comprehensive drug resistance profile of the bacteria infecting that may have infected a person. And the outcome of that data for that person is that the therapy that can be given is most likely to have the most effective antibiotics for that person. And if that treatment for a drug-resistant case of tuberculosis is effective, then we can expect the person to go back to work earlier, to be fitter, and suffer lesser from the wasting and the consumption of the disease that is tuberculosis. So comprehensive diagnosis by whole genome sequencing can impact this group even more significantly by providing them the opportunity to go back to work earlier than an ineffective therapy which is guided by insufficient testing in the laboratory.
Thanks, Anirvan. Gaurav, to you, Haystack Analytics has managed to whittle down the time for bioinformatic analysis to a mere 15 minutes and has incorporated intuitive problem solving specific reporting to ensure relevance to healthcare. How have you gone about achieving this?
What we have been able to do is to imagine a world where genomics is going to play an increasingly pivotal role in all of healthcare. Genomics as a technology has the capability of bringing the most contextual and most comprehensive information for the doctor to take the right decision about the treatment of the patient. And if that is so, a lot of the current diagnostics is going to be replaced with genomics, which means we are talking about a world where several million diagnostic tests based on genomics are going to happen. And if that is the case, the current day model of semi-automated or significantly manual bioinformatics, where we require specialists like Dr. Anirvan Chatterjee to look at every patient sample that is coming in to publish the report, will just not work. After the appreciation of this problem statement, I think we built ourselves with focus on two spectrums. On one side, we delved into the best of biology that we could create, so that for every clinical condition that we go after, we are able to bring the right combination of information to ensure the doctor knows everything that he needs to know about that condition. And on the other spectrum, we brought big data and data science to marry this biology and created a software suite which today has the capability of integrating with several genomic sequencers that are available and operates almost like a Play Store. With this model, now we have actually scaled to 4 different clinical applications that are live on our platform and 4 different kind of sequencer setups with whom we are able to integrate and process data in almost real time.
Thanks, Gaurav. Anirvan, you talked about a whole genome sequencing, or WGS. It was first used a decade back in the UK to study TB, tuberculosis. The Universal Infectious Disease UID test by Haystack Analytics uses next-generation sequencing, NGS, to gather genomic data. Explain two things to me. One, how big a step is this in terms of making this accessible to hospitals and diagnostic labs? And two, what does it entail in terms of cost and affordability?
Thanks for that question, Gaurav. It's a pretty loaded question, pretty much sums up what we have been trying to do at Haystack. I'll try my best to kind of break it down. First, we need to understand what's the big deal about bringing genome sequencing to diagnosis. Now, the thing is, DNA sequencing has revolutionized healthcare and especially research. The reason it has revolutionized research is it has become the go-to technology for discovery. It is the discovery platform which enabled the world to understand that it is the novel coronavirus and not the last outbreak that was seen in the world. It is the same discovery that is bringing to us tremendous technologies such as the CAR T therapy in cancer and gene therapies and several other platforms. Genome sequencing is the place where researchers head to when they need real answers and discover new things. It is the gold standard for discovery. How can we bring a discovery platform to routine diagnosis? And that is the big disruption. When we started the work at Oxford and so many other places that people were working in, sequencing was working fine in our hands, and there were papers being published left, right, and center. But it was nearly impossible to imagine to bring genome sequencing on a routine diagnosis level, and it can only come to routine diagnosis if the cost is affordable enough, either for a health system or for an individual patient. And that is exactly what we have been able to do. And in universal ID, we have taken it one more step forward. Generally, sequencing is available in a paradigm where the sample is brought to the DNA sequencer. So these machines are extraordinarily expensive, and the skills required to run and interpret the data are tremendously deep. So the samples are brought to specialized labs and specialized teams to analyze the data. In Universal ID, we have changed that paradigm. We have brought sequencing to the sample. We have been able to automate and productize to a level where we are able to use significantly less expensive sequencing platforms, which can be deployed much easier and much wider. And we have been able to automate the entire analysis so that that tremendous skill to analyze the sequencing data is no longer required for any lab which onboards with us. And this is a massive disruption. And the moment we disrupt something where we are able to distribute a technology, we are able to democratize a technology, a natural outcome of that is greater adoption. And with greater adoption comes scale, and with scale comes reduction of cost. So what we are able to do, and I think this is where our core hypothesis is, we need to make clinical genomics applicable. Because if it is applicable, people will use it. Then we need to make it accessible, because if people are using it, then they need it near to them. And if it is applicable and accessible, it will become affordable. So applicable to accessible to affordable, that is the journey that we are traversing with our partners in India and soon the rest of the world as well, as we take this journey forward.
Thanks, Anirvan. Gaurav, you know, tell me something about the commercialization and adoption of Haystack's products in the market. How is this coming along?
Oh, it's a very obvious journey, Gaurav, where as we started, we knew it is not going to be easy. First of all, it is deep tech. Second, it is healthcare. And healthcare in general is infamous for being a very slow adopter of new technology. So I think when we started, the expectation was that it is going to be a long journey. The direction that we took, though, was very interesting. It has helped us in possibly shortening the timelines that we had earlier anticipated on our table. So when we went out to the market, very quickly the understanding built on our table that there are only two kinds of healthcare companies. And I'm not talking about the doctors still. It is the diagnostic companies and the hospitals. As channels who would be able to take this technology downstream to the patient. And there are only two kinds of them. One, who have already started working on genomics, and two, who want to work in genomics, but they do not know how. And the reason, while the intent was very, very ripe, most of the diagnostic companies and hospitals have not started in genomics full throttle, is because of the complexity of data. The data that is coming out of the sequencer, how do we handle that? And number two, obviously, the cost of the transaction. If you have to hire a very big team of bioinformaticians on your table to be able to report for every condition, it is going to be difficult. We started with the most difficult condition with which we could have started. We started with tuberculosis, where the need was immense, but the total private market is very small. Most of the TB market today lies with the government. But I think the decisions that we made helped us very much, because when we started, a lot of the diagnostic players who were still sitting on the fence, they saw the opportunity of getting into genomics with a platform like ours. We were able to reach out to the key opinion leaders, and that was a part of the strategy with which we went into the market with the diagnostic labs, go to the key opinion leaders in TB. Within a year, we had the entire spectrum of diagnostic labs, 60 to 65% of them, the larger diagnostic labs, they started using whole genome sequencing for TB and with our platform at the back end. And more than 500 doctors started using whole genome sequencing for TB at a clinical level. And this has also, this then helped us in taking the voice of the outcome, the voice of this technology to the government. And now we're seeing even the government on its table is looking at whole genome sequencing as the very obvious technology for TB patients across the country. We expect that transition is going to happen very, very soon. Now we have started exactly the same journey with the universal ID product, which at an impact level, it is even more significant because the patients that we are going to handle with universal ID are patients who are very critical in the ICU. They need a report now so that the right therapy can be started in the next next hour possible, and so that we are able to save the life. Because the total time at hand for a patient who's in sepsis is possibly in the hours, not even in days. The opportunity that we have is we have early partners who trust Haystack now as a player in infectious. We are seeing the adoption, but obviously we'll have to go through the journey where we have to go and validate the claim sheet of this technology with early 10 odd partners. And that's the journey we want to create in this current year. Go live with universal ID with possibly 35 to 40 hospitals in the country in the year 2023. And then start taking the technology to every corner of the country and then beyond India to international markets.
Anirvan, you know, you have been a researcher. As a researcher, you have been involved in several high-impact projects, including your work at the Oxford University, where you were part of a team that created and deployed practically the world's first clinical genomic solution for any disease at a population level. Take us through your journey from the laboratory to entrepreneurship.
It's been a long journey, so I don't think I can capture the whole thing. Let me bring to this conversation the delta between laboratory and entrepreneurship, and entrepreneurship in the light of deep tech in a specific focus with life sciences, because the impact of life sciences is significantly higher on people's lives. While it is, there are several other deep tech forms in life sciences, it is particularly of high criticality. So what we are talking about is translation of a science to the real world. And any translation needs communication. And in this case, a researcher needs to communicate with the real world. And that is the big, big gap between scientists working on incredibly new technological improvements and the real world, where some of these can actually change the lives of millions. And this is what I learned at Oxford. I learned that real-world solutions from the science table requires tremendous amount of multidisciplinary effort. For example, in our case, it was nearly impossible for us to work on productizing of clinical genomics without bringing together molecular biology, microbiology, data science, bioinformatics, computer science, hardware, DevOps, and you name it. And then we had to educate the clinicians on the utility of genomics. We had to publish the outcome of our work in peer-reviewed international journals. So basically, if you see, deep tech entrepreneurship is about clearly identifying a real, really big problem and then applying the rigors of science to bring the solution which significantly changes the experience of a patient by helping the patient get better earlier and faster, changing the experience of a clinician by enabling them to make better informed decisions, and changing the experience of a diagnostic lab by upgrading to the best technology or the best the world of science can offer. All of this is enabled only when we have a team which individually has a tremendous amount of depth, but have the ability to collaborate, develop, create, and deploy. That has been my journey of laboratory to entrepreneurship, to find exceptional performers with tremendous amount of subject knowledge and the ability to work with others, experts in subject knowledge, to create the solution and take it to the market. And that's the journey of Haystack.
Gaurav, you have been a 3X entrepreneur, from engineering to finance to now healthcare, and that too in a highly specialized field of next-gen genome sequencing. How has been your journey?
It's mighty interesting, Gaurav. The way I look at it is, I got into genomics for all good reasons, only because I had Anirvan, who is a longtime friend, who pestered me enough to look into the work that he was doing. Otherwise, I wouldn't have dreamt of, in 2015, I wouldn't have dreamt of looking into biotechnology in any which way. Anirvan and I, we go a long way. We actually know each other for 30 plus years. We went to the same school together. And I think it was a chance conversation where he said he wanted to start a company, and this is the work that he's been doing in TB. What hit me immediately was the impact of the work that he's doing, how it can actually immediately change lives of patients by being able to present the total information to the clinician. I think that's what gave me the nudge. Anirvan had been very patient with me in the journey, because I think the first 1.5 years of conceptualizing Haystack, my daily routine was to call up Anirvan at 8 o'clock in the evening and keep talking to him till 1 o'clock in the night, and just probing him about all of the science that he knows, and possibly also at some level trying to build the comfort that he knows about the science and the technology that he keeps talking to me about. I think when there was a day when we crossed the threshold, we understood there is a market opportunity. We understood there is a journey which is possibly different from how other companies are creating their journeys. And then we decided to take the plunge. I also would like to add one thing, where the journey of Anirvan from a researcher into entrepreneurship. I think Anirvan keeps saying this very often, where he says the researcher or a scientist has a capability that they can find problems, and an engineer, and he generally points it to me, engineer has the capability of finding solutions. I think the biggest transition that Anirvan has made is he's able to now wear both the hats, from being a scientist when talking to the technology team, talking to the R&D team, identifying all of the problems that can come in our way, and then as an entrepreneur, actually engineering the solutions out so that we are able to get to the market faster. I think that's the transition he has made as an entrepreneur now, starting as a scientist 3-4 years ago.
And Gaurav, you know, with you again, and what's your business model? How does the unit economics work like here in Haystack Analytics? And who do you think are your competitors? How far are you from profitability?
The model is actually very straightforward. We are building amazing software, which is going to take away the need of a lot of manual bioinformatics on the table of companies who want to get do genomics. And this is a SaaS application, hence, on my partner's table. And we build them on a per sample basis. For every report that is being created out using our software, we build them based on that. Business we believe we'll be able to make profitable as early as by end of 2024, with around a 50 hospital partnership. That's the journey that we are chasing at this point of time.
Anirvan, final question to you. Your product being a success case study, how do you envision that the next gen technologies like data analytics, AI, and ML will positively disrupt India's healthcare market?
I think if we look at the healthcare ecosystem as it is evolving, and case in point being the imaging solutions, which took a while to become everyday solutions such as MRI, CT scan, and whatnot, and from that journey to AI in that technology, I think digital pathology and genomics is the next big disruption that is happening right now, where we are able to change the molecule that we are inquiring to provide diagnostic outcomes, therapeutic outcomes, or suggestions to a person's lifestyle. And this is what we call as the multiverse. It's the multi-omic data that we are generating, starting with genomics and then RNA transcriptomics and proteomics. Now, multi-omic data with deep metadata, which is the patient data, the patient response to drugs, the patient's BMI, the patient's pathology, the patient's how a patient is responding to a certain kind of therapy. All of this metadata becomes a massive data source, which will eventually enable better association being plot between genetic variants and disease outcome. So what do I mean by that? So if you think of AI, especially supervised learning, the AI based on supervised learning, is only as useful as the validity of the outcome variable. And I think that is where sequencing is going to become the centerpiece of all sorts of healthcare data, where we will have the ability to understand how changes in a DNA sequence has an association with different diseases, response to drugs, our response to environment, as several things in the world are changing, our response to antibiotics, in the kind of food that we eat. All of this data universe that we're talking about in healthcare, what now the world is calling as One Health, I think in that, DNA sequencing and the DNA data will become probably the most important piece. As we understand the association of DNA with all of these variables, DNA will become the centerpiece for prediction and diagnosis as we go forward.
Thanks, Anirvan. Thanks, Gaurav, for sharing these deep insights and very deep perspectives on genome sequencing and the way presenting the landscape and the way ahead for this universe, and also the kind of work that Haystack Analytics is doing, and also the disruptions Haystack Analytics is bringing about in India's healthcare and diagnostic space. Thank you so much, Gaurav and Anirvan, for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation.